we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
You are here, where? At Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I welcome you today to the lovely city of Plano, Texas. We are the kind of church that believes Jesus has given us a mission to reach the world. Am I talking to the right church today? We are a church that believes Jesus has given us a mission to reach the entire world. That he has empowered us to bring the good news of Jesus to everyone. That's what kind of church we are. Greetings to everyone in the room and a big God bless y'all to everybody watching us online, all over the internet, Facebook Live, wherever you may be, podcasts, all of that. We are in the third week of our sermon series, I Want to Believe, But. I want to remind you that faith does not come naturally. Perhaps our faith struggle is not rejecting the true God, but it is us rejecting our false beliefs that have distorted the view of the true God. Are you with me today? Most people want to believe in the true God, but there is a distortion or incorrect belief standing in their way. In week one, we told you to reject the distortion of on-demand God. In week two, we talked about moving on from killjoy God. Now, next week, I'm going to tell you about next week for a moment. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about rejecting heartless God, a God that just doesn't care. Okay? And this is a major reason why people have stopped believing in God. I know that you have friends and family that need to hear this sermon about heartless God. We're going to be preaching it next week. Please bring your friends and family. Make up in your mind right now, I'm going to be at church next Sunday, and I'm going to bring so-and-so with me. Start praying. Start inviting now, all right? I will be in prayer with you as you invite them, all right? I'm looking forward to next Sunday, but we've got a Sunday right here. So today, I want to preach to you about goosebump God. Look at somebody say, goosebump God. Goosebump God, all right? How do you believe in a God you've never seen, heard, or felt? How do you do that? I want to believe in God, but I don't know if he's real because I don't know. I've never touched him. He's never touched me. I've never felt him. I've never heard his voice. I have, speaking personally, me myself, I have never seen God in the physical. Have you? Anybody here? No, it's possible, but nobody's raising their hand here, okay? I have never heard God audibly, so I've not seen him physically. I've not heard him audibly. Anyone else, did you ever hear him audibly, hear his voice, right? No, I believe that God could totally reveal himself in the physical, okay? That's not the point of today's sermon. He can absolutely reveal himself in the physical. I believe he can speak audibly. But he's never done that to me at this point in time. I believe that he can show up in a physical manifestation, send an angel, set a bush on fire that doesn't actually burn. I believe all these things, but it's never happened to me. Those things have never happened to me up to this point. Have I ever felt God? Well, I would say I have. Would you raise your hand if you have? Cool. People all over this place. But I would also tell you that it is a different kind of feeling. We talk about feeling God sometimes. It's a little different, all right? I have never felt a physical hand of God reach out and give me a deified high five. Right? And you know how much your pastor likes high fives.
He can speak
audibly. In fact, y'all think that's why I raise my hands when I worship. I'm like, any moment now, it's going to be so epic.
I believe that he can show up in a physical
manifestation.
High
five, right? No, I've never done that. Raise your hand if you've ever felt God like physical, like the hand of God or something like that. It's possible, but I don't think I haven't. And you might say that you felt goosebumps, like when we're talking about feeling God. Maybe you would say you felt goosebumps or the hair stand up on your arm. Raise your hand real quick if you felt that before. Yeah, I felt that. But let's challenge you a little bit. I'm not putting that down at all, but I'm going to challenge you by saying this. Have you ever felt tingly goosebumps, hair standing up on your arms when you were watching a
and
movie.
You know how much your pastor likes high five.
I have. Oh, when you heard a certain
y'all think I'm, that's
piece
why
of music.
I raise my hands when I
I'll never
I'm
forget.
Like, any moment now, it's gonna
I'll never
so
forget, Shelton. The first time I heard a fully altered dominant chord,
I've never done that.
I felt the hair stand up
raise
on
your
my,
hand
my
if you've
arm.
Ever felt
it was
God like
a
like
dominant
physical,
chord,
like
sharp five, sharp nine,
like
and
that.
I know I'll never
it's
forget it. It was life changing. No wonder I studied
and
jazz.
You might
right?
say,
or how about this one? Maybe you felt something goosebumpy when you were around somebody
you
liked.
Felt goosebumps or
all right,
hair
cool.
Stand
if you're married,
your
you'll go ahead and keep feeling those things. All right.
Yeah, I felt that.
Okay, well, you
but
might say, well, you know, I know I felt God because
I'm
cried.
Not putting that down at all.
And I had a strong, intense emotion. Now, I'm not putting that down at all. Don't get me wrong, Internet. Come on. Lay off the Twitter.
When you were watching
no one tweets about me. I'm just kidding.
I have. Oh, when you heard.
I'm not putting it down at all, but I'm going to challenge you again.
I'll never forget.
Have you ever watched a YouTube video that made
Shelton,
you cry?
The first time
those funny
I
cat
heard
videos?
A fully
just
altered
me.
Dominant chord, I felt
all
the
right.
hair stand up on my
you,
arm.
You can experience a really
a
strong emotion
chord, sharp five, sharp
going through
yeah,
something,
I'll
right, that isn't necessarily
life.
God, right?
Changing. No wonder I studied jazz, right?
When that commercial comes on with the sad puppies and kitties and the Sarah
McLachlan
song.
When you were around somebody you liked.
All
right, cool. If you're married, you'll go ahead.
I dare you not to tear up.
Right.
In fact,
okay,
we
might
ought to play
say,
that
well, you know,
altar
I know I felt
today.
That because
it's really
cried.
Good. Get y'all down here.
And I had a,
some of y'all
a strong,
have no idea what I'm talking about.
Emotion. Now,
what
I'm
saying is you might have
all,
cried and you might have had
Internet,
an intense emotion.
On.
But
lay off the Twitter.
You felt no that outside the realm of God. So I'm just challenging. I'm just.
I'm not putting it down
this.
At all, but I'm going to challenge you again.
You might
have
say
you
felt
watched a YouTube
peace
video that made you cry?
Or a knowledge that everything was going to be okay. And you felt that in your heart.
All right.
You,
no,
again,
you can
I'm not
experience
putting that
a really
right?
strong
I love
emotion
that. I love all
going
these
through
things.
Something, right?
But let me challenge you and say
God,
that
right?
you can feel at peace
right? when that
when
commercial comes on with
bath,
the sad puppies and kitties and the Sarah
you got those
McLachlan
little cucumbers
song?
On your eyes
the arms
that whatever girls
angel.
Do there or guys, I guess. Anymore.
I dare you not to tear up. In fact,
and you're like
you
listening
might
to smooth
play that
jazz
today.
Music,
today.
And you're just like,
it's
oh,
really
this
good.
Is it. This
here.
Is the peace.
Some of y'all have no idea.
I mean, you can feel
about.
Peace in
what
those situations. You could have
you
a good
have
talk with somebody, and they give you a wisdom,
you that the
and that makes
God.
You feel like, hey, you
so
know
I'm
what? I am
I'm
overreacting. Everything's going
to
be okay.
You might say
so
you
we have
felt
to be careful, especially when we talk to people about, oh, we feel God. How do you know God's real?
Okay.
Well, I just felt him. I felt this peace
again,
and this knowledge. I had an emotion.
Right?
I had these
that.
Things. Because people will look at that
things.
And go, I don't know.
But let me
I don't
challenge
know if that's
you
why
and say I believe in
that
God.
You can feel
I'm not
at
sure
peace.
I've ever
when
you are having
those
a bubble
things.
Bath,
and so if God hasn't done that to them,
you got those
then that
cucumbers
creates
on your eyes,
some theological quagmires, so to speak.
Girls do
there, right?
Or guys, I
guess. Or they know. Might just dismiss you as being emotional.
And you're like listening to
now here's the deal.
Jazz music. And you're
my
just
goodness.
Like, oh,
as
this
cool
is
as
it.
Feelings
this
are,
is
and they are absolutely
I like,
cool.
I mean, you can feel peace.
They cannot
in those
be
situations.
Our basis.
You could have a good talk with somebody.
Okay,
and they
is that
give
all right?
you a
as
wisdom,
cool as feelings
and
are,
and that makes
man,
you feel like, hey,
I love to worship God. I love to be in his presence. I love the goosebumps. I love it.
So we have to be careful, especially when we talk to people about, oh, we feel God. How do you know God's real?
But I'm telling you.
We should not
let
our
feelings
and this knowledge
be the basis
had an emotion
of
I had these things
faith.
People will
and
look
if you
at that
didn't
go,
feel
know,
God today in service,
I
then
I got to
ask you this.
I'm
well, whose
sure
fault is it?
I've ever experienced those things.
You didn't feel God
so
today?
God
well, whose fault
them,
is it? Is God just not that into you today?
Quagmires, so to speak.
Right? Maybe you put on the wrong
or they might
and
just
like,
dismiss
no,
you as being emotional.
So he's backed off from
now
you
here's
today.
The deal.
Why didn't you, if you didn't feel God today,
as
I mean,
cool as
whose fault is that? That's a weird
cool.
theological question, right?
That cannot be
did
our
you
basis
not remember to wear your,
in God.
Your favorite
okay,
spirit-filled
right?
socks
as cool
today?
As feelings are,
you know,
man
you, when I'm wearing
I
these
love
socks,
the
then I extraordinarily
feel
God's
presence.
Or there's like spiritual
the
antenna that pick up
time.
On
it's
the spirit wavelength, and you don't have that today. And other times you have that, but
not
today. Did you not lift your hands high enough, or did you not
faith?
And if you didn't
were
feel
you not
God
loud
today
enough
in service,
when you sang,
then
well,
I gotta ask
why
you
didn't
this.
You feel God?
Well,
whose fault
or,
is it?
But let's be honest, because today's
you feel
world,
God today?
What they just say
well,
is, you know, it's the worship
is
pastor's
it?
Fault.
Is God
he
just
didn't
not
play
into
my
you
favorite
today.
Song? That's why I didn't feel
right?
God today.
Have you put
Boo
on
to that. Y'all stick up for your worship pastor. Give him a hand.
Backed off from you today.
Why, we love you, Shelton.
If you didn't feel God today, I mean, whose fault is that? That's a weird
He's having strong
question,
emotions
right?
and crying
Did
right
you
there.
Not
it's
remember
okay.
to wear your,
I got a Kenny G
your favorite
CD
spirit-filled socks
it's
today?
Yeah, sorry.
You know, man, when
as
I'm
cool
wearing
as
these
feelings
socks,
are.
Then I extraordinarily feel
they
God.
They cannot be the
Or there's
basis
like spiritual antenna that pick up on the spirit wavelength, and you don't have that today.
When you talk about
other times you have that, but not
I've ever been in.
Today.
You talk
did you
about
not
the
lift
greatest
your hands
encounters with
high
God
enough?
I've ever been
or did you
in.
Not?
I usually go to the feeling. That's the first thing
you're
I remember. Not
loud
I remember
enough
what
you
I felt. I remember
feel
what I felt. I remember
but let's
how
be
God
honest,
touched
me. I remember
today's
these
world. What they
well,
just say
you,
is, you know, it's the worship pastor's fault.
Cannot be.
Didn't play
the basis
my favorite song. That's why.
If you don't always feel
God, to that, y'all stick up for your worship pastor. Give him a hand. We love
alone.
You, Shelton.
You're not alone. There are plenty of examples in Scripture of
He's
people
He's having strong
who did
emotions
not
and crying
feel
right there. It's
God,
okay.
Psalm 88, 13 and 14.
CD
I cry to
you
for help, Lord. In the morning, my
cool
prayer comes
are.
Before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and
Say
hide
again,
your
you
face
your
from
as cool as
me? Who wrote
are.
This?
And I, when you talk about
David,
the best
this is
I've
King
ever
David.
Been
is the problem that he's not praying?
With God I've ever,
no,
I've ever
he's
been
praying.
I usually
David
go to
wrote
feeling.
This.
That's
We're talking about the great
oh,
King of Israel, the man that is after
I
God's
I remember how God
own
me.
Heart.
I remember
you
these
hear
things.
That preached all the
well,
time.
Tell you,
the great worshiper.
Cannot be
the great warrior
the
for God,
your
the anointed,
if you
God's
don't
anointed. God told
God,
David, you're going to sit, I'm going
to
establish
you
your throne forever. This is
alone.
David we're talking about.
There
and
are
David
plenty of examples
asked the Lord,
in scripture
why do you reject
people
me?
Who did not feel
David's
God. Psalm
got the promise that not
14,
only is he anointed king,
you for
but
help,
the lineage
Lord,
of his king
in
is
the
never
morning,
going to
my
leave
prayer comes
before
the
you. Why, Lord, do you
and
reject
he feels
me? And hide
rejected
your face from
of God.
Me. Who
he
wrote
asks
this?
Why do you hide your
David,
face from me?
This is
now this is
King
the
David.
Same
David.
It's the problem that he's not
wrote
praying.
In Psalm 139. Where can
no,
I go
he's
from
praying.
Your
spirit,
David
God.
Wrote this. We're talking
Remember
about the
I go,
great King
is
of
here.
Israel,
if I go
the man that is after God's
the spirit
own
that,
heart.
If
you hear
I
that
go to
preached
all
the time.
The
great worshiper,
spirit is
the great warrior
wherever I go.
For God.
He says this.
Though
the
I make my bed
God's
in hell,
anointed,
he says. God told David, you're going to sit.
I can't.
I'm
going to
establish your
spirit
no matter
forever.
Where I go.
This is
God
David
is with
we're
me.
Talking
That's
about.
The same David.
And David
asked the Lord, why do you reject me?
This is the
David's
same David
got
who
the
wrote
promise
in the
23rd not
Psalm,
only is he anointed king,
though,
but
I
the lineage
the
of his king
of
is never going
to death. I don't
leave
have to fear any evil
the throne.
He is
and he feels
with me.
Rejected.
This is the same David,
God.
The
he
same anointed
this,
of God,
hide
the same that gave us all these
from me.
Now,
psalms
this is
that
the
we
same
love to
David
well, he also
who
wrote
in
Psalm
139,
where can I go from
many
your spirit,
worship
God?
Tunes?
Everywhere
God,
I go, your spirit
you,
is
why
here.
Are you
if I go to Starbucks,
me? Why do you hide
the
your
spirit's
face
there?
From me?
If I go to
you
Aldi's grocery mart, your spirit is there. Wherever I go.
He says this,
You're
though I
alone.
Make my bed
we'll
in hell, he
direction.
Says.
The well-known Christian author,
I can't
C.S.
get away
Lewis.
From your spirit. No matter
he
where I go,
works,
God is with
the
me.
Lion, the witch,
That's the same David who just wrote this. Why do you reject
and
me? Why do you
hide Christianity?
Your face?
In one of the
This is the same David who wrote in the 23rd
life,
Psalm.
He cried
though,
out to God,
though,
and he got
I
this
I walk
response.
Through the valley
this,
of the shadow of death. I don't have to fear
slammed
any evil because he
And a sound of bolting
with
and double
me.
Bolting on
this
the
This is the same David,
there are no
the same anointed
the
of God,
it
the same that gave us all these
house.
Psalms that we love to sing.
In
well,
heaven.
He also wrote
it
this psalm
so
that doesn't make
why
it into many
God's
worship
so present, a commander
tunes. God,
in our time of
you, why are you
and
rejecting
so absent
me?
Help
why do you hide your face
of
from me?
Trouble.
If you don't
We're
always
talking about
feel
a thought
God.
Leader.
We're talking about an author
who
Touched
You're not
generations
alone. We'll go a different direction.
The well-known Christian author,
his
C.S.
writings
Lewis.
Brought many people
He wrote some great works.
God.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe,
Screwtape
the power
Letters,
that,
and
Mere
of
Christianity.
His words,
in one of
C.S.
the painful
Lewis,
moments of C.S. Lewis's life,
on God.
He cried out to
it
God,
so
and he got this response. Look at this.
Now,
a door slammed
like
in my face.
House
and
God
a sound of bolting
like
and
God
double bolting on the inside. There are
Double
no lights in the
it.
Windows.
I can't even
it
get
might
inside.
Be.
It
an
looks
empty
like
house.
Looking inside.
Was it ever
did anyone ever
inhabited?
Live
it seems so once.
Here. Why he is questioned God so present, God a commander
in our time of prosperity?
He questioned, so was I crazy? Did I just imagine it? Did I just believe there
was
a God
a
and now there
leader.
Really isn't a God?
We're talking about an author who
haven't felt God,
and
I want to tell you,
touches
you
generations.
Are not
he,
his
alone.
Writings
you
brought many people
you
to faith in God.
You'll have to look it up.
It's
I'll
shocking. David,
the
I
power that
author of C.S. Lewis.
His words.
If those aren't
C.S.
good
Lewis,
enough examples,
all,
how about this
all
one?
Focusing people on
Matthew
God.
27,
it seems so
once.
About 3 in the afternoon.
Now,
Jesus cried out.
It's like
in a loud
an empty
voice,
house
Eli,
where God's
Eli,
supposed to be. It's like
God
has locked the door.
Double
my
bolted
God.
It.
I can't
my
even
God.
Get inside. It looks like looking inside.
Forsaken.
Did anyone ever live
Jesus Christ.
Here? He questioned
God.
If God was ever
who was always
real.
In perfect
he questioned, was I crazy? Did I just imagine
as
it?
Jesus
did I just
the
believe
cross,
there was a God and
the
now
sin
there really
humanity
is a God?
Was placed
come on.
Upon him.
If you
he cried out
haven't felt God, I want to tell you, you God. Are not
I gotta tell you,
alone.
If
you don't
always
feel God, you are not
God.
Alone. So I gave you David. I gave you a noted
sometimes
author,
we
C.S.
Christians
Lewis.
Can actually
if those
be
aren't good
really
enough examples, how about this
God
one?
Stuff.
Matthew
you
27,
at the
verse 46.
I mess up
about
all.
3
I'm
in the afternoon,
with it.
Jesus cried
me.
Out in a loud
prayed
voice,
about it this week,
Eli,
so
Eli,
I'm not
lima
do any better, but
sabachthani, which means
have mercy,
my God. Imagine for a moment
why have
how
you
annoying it may be
forsaken.
For someone who is struggling
Jesus
to believe
Christ,
and hasn't felt
God.
God's presence in a while or
who
perhaps
who is always
ever.
In perfect union.
Imagine how
with
annoying
the Father,
it may be for them to hear
as Jesus
us
hung
say
on the cross.
Like this.
I
the
am
sin
so
of humanity was placed
and
upon him.
Favored.
He
favored
cried out.
Woke up this morning and God was there.
I reached into my closet
God.
And thank you, Lord.
You,
my favorite shirt was wrinkle free. I drove to Walmart.
God.
And every
you
song I heard on the Christian radio
sometimes
station
we
was
Christians
my absolute
can actually be really
favorite song. And then at
the
Walmart, God's special
and
parking lot angel guided me, steered me right to the perfect spot, right at the front of the building. Can I get an amen? While I was checking out,
have mercy,
without having to wait in line,
imagine for a moment,
I got two
how
phone
annoying
calls.
It
the
may
first
be
phone call
for
was,
someone who is
struggling
to believe.
We're going to raise your wage.
And hasn't felt God's
me.
Presence
and then I got a
in a while, or perhaps
call.
Ever.
It was from an Ivy League school.
Imagine
says,
how
yes,
annoying it may be for them
son,
to hear
and we are giving
us
him
say something
a
like
full
this.
Ride,
I am
free.
So blessed
scholarship, ain't he good,
and highly favored.
Favored. Woke up this morning and God was there. I reached into my closet and thank you, Lord. My favorite shirt was wrinkle free. I drove to Walmart. And every song I heard on the Christian radio station was my absolute favorite song. And then at Walmart, God's special parking lot angel guided me, steered me right to the perfect spot, right at the front of the building. Can I get an amen? While I was checking out,
actually, he made sure
without having to wait in line,
from the
I got
row.
Two phone calls. The first phone call was, son,
while
I'm giving you promotion. We're going to raise
minutes,
your wage. The boss called me. And then I got a second call. It was from an Ivy League school that says, yes, we have accepted your son, and we are giving him a full ride, free scholarship. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Now, listen, that person can come across annoying to the person who replies this way. Well, I woke up late. And there was a crick in my neck. I didn't feel God.
And even Jesus.
My favorite shirt had somehow turned pink in the wash.
Just because you
on the drive to Walmart, I hated every one of those songs. Same chords.
Just because you don't feel God doesn't mean that he has
the parking. The parking angel, actually, he made sure I got extra steps from the back row.
Maybe.
And.
You are
while I was waiting in line for 30 minutes, I got two phone calls that I got fired and that my son was rejected from community college.
It is. My goodness, it actually now, literally affects
we need to believe
it's sensational.
In a God
sometimes we
who can be felt.
Sensual,
but we also need to realize that there are times where David couldn't fill him.
So they asked him,
C.S. Lewis couldn't fill him.
What sign will you give that we may
Jesus
see it and
did
believe?
Not. Feel his
what
presence. Just because you don't feel God,
our
can I tell you, it does not mean that he's left you alone.
As it is written,
you listen to me. Just because you don't feel God doesn't mean that he has
earlier
left
in this chapter,
you alone. So really
chapter,
quick, let's talk
Jesus
about this.
Miracle,
why don't we always
do?
Feel God? Here's number one. We're just going to jump right into it.
5,000.
Maybe.
He fed thousands of people.
You are over
early
sensationalizing
in this
it.
They're asking, what will you do?
Just stick with me.
He's
feeling God is sensational, right? It is.
A bit. You
my goodness, it actually
that, right?
literally affects
he
my senses.
Miraculously fed
it's sensational.
With a
but sometimes we may over sensual,
that wasn't enough
sensationalize it. John chapter 6, 30 and 31. So they asked him,
enough.
Jesus, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe
sign.
You? What
another
will
sign.
You
what sign
do?
Will
next
you
verse.
Give?
Our
yeah,
ancestors ate the manna
ago.
In the wilderness
it was
as
really
it is
great.
Written.
It was terrific. It
he
was
gave
just,
them bread from heaven
really
to eat. Now, earlier
but
in this chapter,
so
Jesus did a miracle. What did he do?
And believe.
What he fed 5,000. He fed thousands of people early
saying,
in this chapter.
Next?
They're asking, what will you do?
Do
right? He's already done quite a bit. You try doing that, right? He
instead
miraculously fed
miracle,
thousands of people with a few pieces of fish and bread. That wasn't enough
miracle.
For this crowd
the sign
of people.
Of the miracle became more important.
Had they experienced
the
a miracle?
Of the
it wasn't enough. They now demanded
they
what? They demanded another
oh, no,
sign.
Churches,
another sign. What sign will you give? Yeah, I know we ate a few hours ago. It was really great. It was terrific. It was just really terrific.
People talking about, oh my goodness,
but,
we went
but
to
what will you give us now
here,
so that we can see?
Gold dust fell from the ceiling. It was
and
so good.
Believe.
People were just
wait,
like,
didn't they just
up,
have a miracle?
And they're just all millionaires now, except.
And yet they're saying, what will you do next?
And I'm like,
what will
cool.
you do? They
what
actually
Jesus?
Ask him so that we
about?
Can see
Jesus.
And
oh, but did
believe.
You not hear about the gold?
Instead of receiving God's miracle, they became over-sensationalized by the miracle. The sign of the miracle became more important than the actual presence of the Savior.
Jesus. Instead, we're talking about
oh,
gold dust.
Thank goodness we don't do that today. Oh, no, absolutely. There are churches. There are miracle revivals around
stop
there that absolutely get overhyped
miracles.
With that stuff. I remember hearing as a young age people talking about, oh, my goodness, we went to this revival meeting over here, and gold dust fell from the ceiling. It was so good. People were just, like, sweeping it up, and they're just all millionaires now, except none of them really
God
were millionaires.
But
and I'm like, well, that's cool. What about Jesus? What'd you learn about Jesus? Oh, but did you not hear about the gold? The gold.
Can I tell you, you don't need him
over sensationalized. You can actually take the miracles of God. Maybe there was gold dust. But the fact that we aren't talking about Jesus, instead we're talking about gold dust, I think we're sensationalizing the wrong thing.
Thank you for his blood.
All right? Stop demanding miracles from God. We do that way often. In fact, stop demanding another miracle from God. He's already done a miracle for you. We are the worst at this. God could do a miracle for you in the morning, and you aren't happy at the end of the day. God could have saved your life in a car wreck, from a car wreck earlier in the day. Later in the day, you are mad at him, saying, what are you going to do, God? We do it. Can I tell you, you don't need him to do another miracle. He already sent his son into the world to die on a cross. It doesn't get better than that. It doesn't, clap your hands if it, you believe God, it doesn't get better than that. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus dying for me. Thank you for his blood. Thank you for his bread.
But they aren't powerful.
For his body.
No. The revelation that I'm in is
perhaps
presence. That's powerful.
You aren't. Feeling
the
God
goosebumps sometimes help me
or
realize that.
Hearing
cool.
God. Sometimes
or
we have empowerful encounters from God's presence,
because
but it is not enough
for
us.
It's time
for
you to operate
we need
in a different
another
level
sign.
No, to operate
no you don't.
In a thing
you need to start believing.
Faith.
They had seen
see him,
a miracle
hear him,
of Jesus Christ. They had heard
him,
the miracle of his preaching.
Do those. I don't have to
and
have
they
those to
hadn't
by
come to believe
faith.
Yet. You know what? Instead of reaching out for the next feeling and the next goosebump, start believing. Start living by faith. Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. We don't walk by feeling. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by hearing an audible voice. We walk by faith. Stop demanding another sign from God.
Perhaps you aren't feeling God because he's calling you to operate in the realm of faith. So why don't we always feel God? Number one, maybe we're over sensationalizing it. Number two, maybe our heart is hard. Maybe your heart is not receptive to God's presence. Let's look at the word here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Can I tell you, the problem is not their ears, because they are ever hearing, right? There is plenty to hear. You'll be ever hearing. The problem was their lack of understanding. And the problem is not the seeing. There was plenty to see. It said, you will be ever seeing. The problem is perceiving. Ever seeing, but not perceiving. Eyes to see, ears to hear, but a calloused heart, a hard heart that causes them not to really see, not to really hear, not to really feel. A heart that no longer feels will not feel God. Your heart condition has everything to do with why you are or are not feeling God's presence. Sin hardens our heart. Oh, yes, it does. Sin separates us. Sin destroys intimacy. Now, we are all sinners. I'm pretty sure I will probably make some mistake this week. I'm almost certain. I will definitely spend time this week repenting. I spend time repenting every day, even if I can't think of anything I've done wrong. I want to keep my heart clean before the Lord, all right? But what I'm talking about here is not an oops kind of sin. Oh man, I hit my thumb with the hammer and I said a bad word. I'm not talking about oops kind of sin. I'm not talking about I accidentally shorted the waitress and accidentally walked out with more money than I should have. I'm not talking about an oops kind of sin. I am talking about being comfortable with sin. I'm talking about no longer feeling conviction over sin. A heart that no longer feels sorry for sin. A heart that could actually sit in the church and already make plans to sin after service. Have you grown comfortable with that continual porn addiction? Do you not even pray about it anymore? Are you lazy? Do you even feel in your heart that it is displeasing to God anymore? Has there come a place where you don't even just feel sorry for your laziness anymore? Is your heart now calloused about gossip or lying? Do you no longer feel the need to repent over your sin? Danger, that's dangerous ground. That's dangerous place to be. If you are not feeling in your heart a conviction to sin, the Bible talks about godly sorrow. That what is good about godly sorrow? It leads somewhere and it leads to repentance. You need to be feeling something in your heart and let that feeling lead you to repentance. Could it be that the reason you aren't feeling God is that your heart is not in a condition to feel God? That you have turned your heart off when it comes to the things of God, and you've turned your heart on to the things of sin and the things of this world. If you turn your heart off to God, you will not feel God. Number one, maybe you're over sensationalizing his presence. Number two, maybe your heart is hard. Number three, there's no maybe about it. God wants us to draw near. He wants us to draw close. There is no maybe God wants you to draw near. He absolutely wants you to draw near. Can you ever be too close to God? No, you can't. You can always be closer to God. And there are times when God may withdraw from you to allow you to seek Him. Stick with me here. Have you ever had a one-sided friendship? Yeah, we all have. I think we have, right? Right? I'm looking around the room. Right here? All right, good. All right. Sorry, y'all are all thinking about me. I should be a better friend. Right. Have you ever had a one-sided friendship? Have you ever found yourself the only one to initiate the relationship? The only one to call or text? The only one to make plans to hang out? That is a one-sided relationship. I've had some of those relationships where I'm the only one initiating. I stop calling. I stop texting. And I stop making plans. Not out of anger. Well, maybe a little bit, but I get over that, Vicky. I do. I get over it. But it's not really about anger there. It's to give them a chance to be the one to initiate. If I'm the one that always calls, I'll stop calling so that maybe they will call. I stop texting so that maybe they'll be the one that texts. I'll stop making the plans to see if maybe they'll be the one to make the plans. By withdrawing, I allow space for them to initiate. And if they do initiate, it makes the relationship that much closer. Am I making sense today? In fact, if they call, I answer that phone immediately, ready to hang out. God does this. God does this. God actually withdraws, not out of anger, but to give us space to initiate. God, I haven't heard your voice in a while. God says, yeah, I've been waiting for you to pray. God says, I've been waiting for you to pour over my word. You want to hear my voice? It's in your hand right now. I'll just turn to it. It's in your smartphone Bible app. Just turn to it. Pour over my word. You want to hear me? There it is. It's already there. I already spoke to a prophet to write it down. It's in your hand. God's basically saying, I was waiting on you to call me. Do you have a one-sided relationship with God? Is He the only one who initiates in your relationship? I also have some relationships that only call me when they need something. Have you ever experienced that? Oh, it's delightful. You know that feeling. You hear the phone ring. You look down at the caller ID. And you think what? Somebody say it. Oh, man, what do they need now? I wonder what they need today. Oh, my goodness. Yep, it's about that time. Yeah, they would be calling now. I don't know. We think these things, if we're honest. But are we that way with God? Do we only talk to Him when we need a miracle? Oh, God, here I am. I need a miracle, you know. Every month, it's the first of the month, and I got to pay bills. God, here I am. You know, I'm the best Christian on, like, the 28th, 29th, 30th, and 31st of every month. I'm just the best Christian. The best. Do all my praying then, right? Do we only open up the Bible on a last-ditch effort to know what to do because we've tried everything else? Well, I've tried everything else. Now I'll look at the Word of God, right? Have you ever pulled out a magic eight-ball scripture? Do you know what a magic eight-ball scripture is? I think you do. That's when you ask God a question and then randomly open your Bible and read the first thing you see. Like, that's not really praying, nor is it really studying your word. But, you know, we'll take what we can get. So a great example of that is like this. God, I am so worried about my finances. I might not be able to afford the iPhone 12 when it comes out. We are really desperate here, God. So right now I'm going to open up your Bible to the first thing I read. All right, and I open my Bible and it says, Jesus said to the rich young man, sell all you have and follow me. And then we decide, well, that didn't work. We'll try it again. Old Testament this time. Then it can get real interesting. Right. See, sometimes God will be silent because all you do is ask for stuff. Your relationship has become one-sided and all about what he can do for you and not what you can do with him, for others. I don't think God wants to reward that. If God actually talked to you in that state of mind, he would be doing you and the kingdom of God a disservice. If God has withdrawn because he is waiting for you to initiate, then I have great news. Let's look at some word together. James 4 and 8, come near to God and he'll come near to you. Jeremiah 29, 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Psalm 145, 18, anybody glad for the word of God? The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Matthew 28, 20, Jesus said, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Hebrews 13 and 5, the Lord says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Acts 17, verse 26, it says this, from one man, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. He marked out their appointed times and histories and the boundaries of their lands. Verse 27, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. Do you realize the whole reason God created everything, God did everything, laid out all the time, all the history, appointed kings, appointed nations, the boundaries of nations God is involved with. The reason he did it is so that men would seek him, because they can seek him, and if they do, they will find him. Why? Because he's not far from any of us. He's not far from any of us. I don't know if you have felt God today, but I want to confirm, I want to preach the word to you right now that he is not far from you. And perhaps he's just waiting on you to seek him, perhaps to call on his name and then find him. Draw close and he will draw close to you. Seek him with all your heart and you will find him. God wants you to initiate Redemption Church. I tell you what, I used to do this little thing in church when I was a little kid. I think people still do it, but here it is. I would sit down. So we wouldn't stand everybody at the beginning of church service. So we'd all sit down. So that first song would come up, and I'd go, okay, I'll stand when six other people stand. I'd just pull out a stupid number, right? So I'm like, one, all right, there's two, three. Oh, that's going way too quick. I'm going to be standing. Like I would do that as a kid. Anybody do that? Does it relate to that? Or, you know what, I'll come down and I'll pray, but I'm not going to be the first one. I'm not going to be the first one. I'll come and pray. I know I need to pray, but, you know, I'll come and I'll do that. You know what? Oh, man, there's a mighty move of God in this place. I really feel it, but you know what? I need someone else to do it first. Anybody do that? Anybody do that? Or, man, if I just feel the right amount of goosebump, then I'll do something. Like the word of God was just preached. It wasn't enough to just respond to the word of God. Chris Fluitt, you know that God's real. You know that people all around you are worshiping him, but you are waiting for something to happen. What are you doing? God wants you to initiate. God wants you to seek him. God wants you to talk to him. He says this in Matthew 7. Verse 7 and 8, very well-known verse. Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be open. I want to remind you that just because you haven't felt God, heard God, seen God, does not mean he's far from you. But you can count on the devil telling you every time. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Have you ever had the devil, he's that sly old fox, come up to you and say, I notice you haven't felt God's presence in a while. It's because he's done with you. Oh, he'll say stuff like that. You know what? You did sin this last week, and it's done. God's done with you. It's over. It's over. You might as well just give up. What are you even doing at church, you hypocrite liar? Leave it to the devil to call you a liar. What an idiot. What? We are the dumbest people in the world to ever listen to that dude. Right? I remember there was a time in my life, I talk a lot about January 24th, 1988. That was a moment in time where God filled me with his spirit. Junior, I felt his presence so strong. I felt the Holy Spirit take inhabitation in my life, and spiritual, supernatural things took place on that night that I will never forget. But you know what? I came back to church that Tuesday, and I didn't have the same feeling. I had Tuesday night prayer. I didn't feel it. I came back the next night. It was Bible study. We went to church a lot. Wednesday night, didn't feel it. Friday night, youth group, didn't feel it. Sunday morning, we're going on a week. Sunday morning, didn't feel it. Sunday night, didn't feel it. A week goes by. Another week goes by. Another week goes by. Another week goes by. Another month goes by. Another month goes by. Years go by. And where I was 8 years old and I felt that extreme, powerful move of God in my life, I'm now 12 years old, and it has been 4 years. And the devil said stuff like this: it didn't really happen. You aren't really saved. God's spirit isn't really living in you. You faked it. You no good faker. These are the things that the devil was saying to me. And I will never forget the extraordinary moment. I was in Johnson City, Texas. Ever been to Johnson City, Texas? Of course you have not. Except for Sarah. I've got a lot of family there. But we had a, there was a little country church there. And I remember, you ever go to a church that's not your home church? Like, it's always a little intense to go to somebody else's church. Thank you, everybody that's ever visited this church. I know it's intense to walk into a church that you've never experienced before. But I'm in this church, and I remember I'm just standing there during worship, people worshiping. And Jeremy, I felt this absolute drawing in my heart. And it just hit like this email just went right into my brain and said, you ought to go worship God at the front. I'm like, yeah, right. Can you imagine that? It's not even my home church. I wouldn't do that at my home church. No, I'm not going to do that here. You know, maybe if 12 and a half people did it. Not 13, 12 and a half. Like Siamese twins. These, the thoughts going through my head. But it, Dwight wouldn't get away from me. Why don't you go worship at the front? And it just, and I'd been in this state. I was like, God, would you please let me feel your presence again? God, would you let me know that you love me? Like you let me know when I was 8 years old. Like it was, we can talk about it on surface levels, but there was a 12-year-old kid who was dying on the inside, desperate to feel God's presence. And this little thought just comes in. Why don't you just go worship in the front? And I remember I stood there for way too long. I said, well, maybe if somebody goes up. Somebody went up. Maybe if another one goes up, another one goes up. And I don't know what number we were on, Ron, but it was definitely, God was in the house, and I knew God was telling me to go up front before anyone else did. Thank God those other people were obedient to God. Thank goodness. I remember I was in the middle of that aisle, and I remember that awkward, hey, I need to get out moment. Just get out the aisle. There's this last chair, and I'll never forget it, Marshall. I got out of that aisle, and I took one step, and I never got to the front of that church. I never made it. The power of God just washed over me.
And I remember just going, God, you really do love me. It's so good to feel your presence again. It was so good. All it took was a step. Sometimes, if you are in this place, I'm away from God. I haven't felt him. I dare you, take one step towards him and you'll feel him. And after you have felt him, you are going to be so indignant at the enemy who lied to you all that time. He lied to you over and over again. Satan, you are such a liar. Oh, not only does God love me, I'm his treasure. I'm the apple of his eye. I am the one that he sent his only son for. I am the lost one of the 99 that he leaves the flock and he goes and grabs. I'm loved by him. Loved by him. Shelton, please come. Just because you've not felt God does not mean he's far. He could be one step away. The idea of goosebump God is that if you don't have the goosebumps, then you don't have the God. And that's wrong too. The truth is, he loved me on January 24th, but he loved me on January 25th, and he loved me on January 26th, and he loved me on January 27th. And finally, at the age of 12, when I took that step, I realized, oh, duh, of course, he loves me. He loves me. You need to reject goosebump God, and you need to declare that God is real even when you don't feel him. There are times that I preach to you, I absolutely feel the goosebumps. I absolutely do. And then there are times I don't feel the goosebumps. They're not always there. But God's word is powerful, no matter what I'm feeling. And there are times I pray where I absolutely feel the goosebumps. Then there are times I pray and I don't feel the goosebumps. But I pray anyway, because I want to draw close to God. And I believe he hears me even when I don't hear him. And there are times when we worship together, oh, I feel the goosebumps. But then there are times I don't feel the goosebumps for whatever reason. But you know what? I praise him anyway. I push myself. I challenge myself to give him all the more glory and praise. Why? Because he is worthy no matter what I am feeling. Amen. I'm about to come to this altar. I'm coming today not because of a goosebump, but because I love God and I want to initiate my relationship with him. I'm coming to this altar today. You're going to find me in the first 2 feet of this altar today. Why? Not because of a goosebump. Not because I need to beg God for a miracle. I'm coming just to draw close to him. You'll find me in the first 2 feet. I'm going to worship God in this altar today, not because of a goosebump, but because I'm going to respond to the word of God. I'm coming to this altar, not because of a goosebump, but because I am actively walking by faith. Redemption Church, am I going to meet you in this altar today? Am I going to run into anyone in this altar that's here just because they love Jesus Christ? Am I going to see anyone in this altar that's not satisfied with where they are with God and they want to just draw a little closer to him today? Will this altar be filled with desperate people? People desperate for God? Will you come and repent of your sin today? Will you come ask God to wash your heart, to make it a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone? Will you ask him to touch your hard heart? Will you seek God with all your heart in this altar today? I'm done. Will you come? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person in this room. I pray for every person that's listening, watching online. Father, Lord, I want them to feel your presence. But God, even if they don't feel your presence, Lord, I ask, Lord, that they would take a step towards you, that they would seek you,
that they would stop listening to an enemy that says they're defeated, an enemy that says they are no good and unloved. Lord, I pray right now that they would start to call on the name of Jesus, that they would start to reach out to him, that they would lift up hands to him, that they would open up their heart to him, that they would ask God to forgive them of their sins, that they would start to confess their sin to him and have Jesus be the Lord of their life, have Jesus wash them clean, have Jesus forgive them, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the presence I feel, God. Lord, I don't deserve to feel your presence. Your presence is so wonderful. Your presence is to be honored, God. Lord, your presence is not to be taken for granted. Thank you for your presence. I surrender myself to the presence of God in this house, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We love you, God. We praise you. Come on, let's talk to God in this house. I want somebody to pray with. I believe God is going to meet needs. I believe God's going to do powerful things as we seek him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.